Kevin D. Williamson, another point of view here. Why 100% tariff on motorcycles? He axes, as surprising as it sounds, I think President Trump might be confused on a policy detail. He says that an unnamed country imposes a 100% tariff on U.S.-made motorcycles. Now, this may be the case, but if it is, I am unaware of it, and I can find no evidence of it. I'll update if somebody corrects me. What is certainly happening is that the United States is considering a 100% tariff on European-made motorcycles. You people that like to drive Husqvarnas and BMWs and what's another European-made motorcycle? I can't think of one. The Italian one, a Ducati. Am I missing any? Husqvarna, BMW, Ducati. It's got to be some from Deutschland. This is part of a dispute about beef with the steak and burger lobby looking for retaliatory tariffs on key European imports in response to European regulations regarding U.S. origin beef and meat products. U.S. producers use certain hormones that are banned in the EU, punishing U.S. consumers to subsidize a politically influential industry. That's a great policy if you have a large cattle ranching operation, writes Mr. Williamson, or if you fancy paying twice as much for a Ducati. And here's the update. India and the Maldives do have a 100% tariff on some imported motorcycles. It's a bad policy for them, and it would be a bad policy for us. There's something about that in the speech last night. Rich Lowry, who is the editor of the National Review, says this. let me go back one. I had it pulled up just a moment ago. Here's Lowry. Hold on. Domesticated Trump. Now, if there's a Decepticon that's alive, I mean, a fraud that someone that claims to be a conservative. By the by, Lowry was also in the Never Trump camp, just for a point of reference here. If people in the elite establishment like Rich Lowry start going Trump, you'll know that Trump ain't Trump anymore. Okay? That's the point here. You'll know that Mordor and the $4.5 trillion all-you-can-eat buffet just smacked him down. You don't go around proposing $1 trillion in infrastructure, stimulus spending, if you will, if you're not ready to make deals with people that have to actually legislate that. By the by. When Obama proposed this, and I went and looked this up, when Obama proposed this, I asked the question to start the program today. Was Obama's porculus succubus stimulus bill more or less than $1 trillion? Answer. And all of the right wing sphere, all of conservatism, even 5 years after that, I found headlines. I'll read you some of them. I found headlines when I was searching for this in the brief amount of time that I had to do show prep today. I found headlines here. I'll read you some of the headlines that I found from back in 2009 when President Obama and Nancy Pelosi proposed $835 billion in infrastructure. That's what the porculus succubus stimulus was. Infrastructure. Hey, you want some headlines? January 25th, 2009, New York Times. Republicans are resistant to Obama's stimulus plan. January 27, 2009, Republicans strongly oppose Obama's stimulus plan. Washington Times, I have that one here in my hand. February 9, 2009, support for stimulus plan slips, but Obama remains resolute. January 29, 2009, Slate.com, the logic behind Republican opposition to Obama's stimulus package. February 29, 2012, Why Stimulus Fails. This is a cover story from the American Conservative magazine. Let me read you the pyramid, the setup. Last fall, the president called for a second stimulus package of $450 billion. Former head of Obama's Council of Economic Advisors argued that a second plan was a good idea, such as a February 2009 report from the American University, blah, 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 why stimulus fails. February 18, 2014, are you ready for this? Republicans attack Obama's stimulus package on its fifth anniversary, 5 years after the porculous succubus stimulus plan passed. We were having parties, attack Obama parties. We know that this Keynesian economic stimulus stuff doesn't work. Yet, Franklin Delano Trump proposes it. And hey, this guy's awesome. Back to Rich Lowry. You have to hear this. I agree with everyone that it was the best Trump speech yet. It was, as teleprompter Trump speeches go. In other words, the president is becoming a president. He's growing out of the role of mere peasant citizen and is being groomed and wooed into becoming one of them. If you don't oppose it, you ultimately surrender to it. Here. It's been mystifying for a while why Trump wouldn't just do a few simple things that sound a little more unifying and normal, and tonight he did them. Right, Rich Lowry. Again, if there's a Decepticon, a fake conservative out there, it's Rich Lowry, the editor of the National Review. He denounced bigotry, struck an optimistic tone, invoked the American story, associated himself with many sympathetic people in the balcony, and it ended by saying God created us equal. That was a highlight moment. I'll give you that. None of this is difficult to do or cost Trump anything. Indeed, Trump delivered his core message. And that's what Christopher has been saying all morning long. Tell everyone what you've been telling me all morning. When I asked you about last night, what did you say? You'd heard it before.
The speech was pretty much the same script he's been saying for the last year and a half.
You said you were listening to it, nodding your head, going what? You've heard all this.
I've heard all this, except for the infrastructure package. And that's just that's just the same thing any president has done in the past. Every president.
So this
package.
So this was the same speech, just with a few sympathetic notes thrown in. All hail the Navy SEAL lady up there. All hail the.
Yeah, they clap for like 3 minutes.
For 3 minutes, right? Hey, let's identify with some people that are awesome Americans.
Yes, let's recognize these people who sacrifice and do this
right.
Kind of thing.
Yeah, other than that, same speech, right?
Pretty much.
But not delivered in a way in which those previous speeches were delivered.
Well, President Trump delivers his speeches differently from any. He's different than any other president.
But last night he could have been President Bush. He could have been Obama going left and right on the teleprompter.
Very much so. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. Just now back to.
But he was Trump. He delivers things differently.
Yeah. He was kind of Trump. Franklin Delano Trump Obama. Or
he did mention Eisenhower there. He's got a little Eisenhower with his infrastructure.
You know,
package.
It's a funny thing that on November the 13th of the year of our Lord and Savior, Anno Domini, 2016.
Remember, this is abbreviated, so use AD.
AD.
There you go.
AD. Anno Domini, AD. A document was released by the Trump transition team that said that they knew what the 10th Amendment was. And that they knew that there were some things that the federal government should not be doing and that only the states should be doing it or could do them. Other than the regulations, can we find one? It's interesting to me or to note here, peculiar to note, that if you were to purchase a copy of Tom Woods and Kevin Gutzman's book, Who Killed the Constitution? I'm looking to see if I got my copy handy. Who Killed the Constitution? One of the chapters is an entire chapter about the interstate highway system. And remember, the title of the book is Who Killed the Constitution? To have a chapter in it about the interstate highway system implies, and the book makes the case, that the interstate highway system is what is part of what killed the Constitution. Why? Because there is no congressional authority to build roads. At least Eisenhower, though, Ike tried to make a head fake towards the Constitution, saying, no, this isn't about the Department of Defense. We had to transport things from point A. We had to transport implements of death to kill, maim, and to bomb people from point A in Florida to point B in California. We got to have a road to drive the giant rockets on, folks. I mean, come on. That was the lame-o point about interstates. And I hope that I can avoid the telephone call, although I'm perfectly happy to explain this to you about the reason why Congress does not have that power. Because some yahoo out there right now is going, rebuild roads and pass bridges, that's in the Constitution. That has absolutely nothing to do with road improvements. That has absolutely, post-roads is an 18th century term for a road that leads to a post office. Not roads, not a network of roads, an actual passageway so that wagons and mail delivery vehicles could make it to a post office. James Madison, if you don't believe me about this interstate highway system, now look, I realize that ship has sailed. It's not, we're not going to put it back in the harbor long as we're America. But if you want the poop and the skinny on this, well, then read the James Madison's veto of the bonus bill. Read it. Go ahead. I challenge you to. Let's see. It's January of 1817. A bill was sent to President Madison to do exactly to build an interstate highway and canal system, basically. And Madison vetoed it. And Madison said, I had to veto this. I told you idiots that if you wanted to do it, that you needed to amend the Constitution so that Congress would, and the general government would have the authority to do it. We don't have the authority. You don't have the authority to do it. It's why I'm going to veto it. Anyway. So don't get me to garbage about infrastructure projects. This is pork. It's what used to be called pork. This is old-fashioned Mordor. Is all that this is a sop to old-fashioned Mordor that, hey, we're open for business. Yeah, we got off to a little bit of a rocky start, but we're open for business. By the by, another disappointment last night. Did you hear anything about unfunding, defunding, taking out the baby killers at Planned Parenthood? Absolutely nothing.
0.0.
Not a word, not a peep. Nothing. So the title, President Donald Delano Trump fits. By the by, I have a talk. I seriously would love to hear from another human being today, other than me screaming at myself in my headphones. What was your take on all this? Were you chanting? Did you jump out of your chair, chant, USA, a couple times last night, did you? Oh, by the by, what about this nonsense about going to Mars? Did you hear that? Mitter Critifer, do a word search in the text of the Trump speech last night for planet, please. And there's one more digital media file I'd like to add. And that's the discussion about it. And putting a man on another planet. Putting a man on another planet? Where might we find the space bus in the Constitution? Mitter Church, come on, that's a little offense. How about no? I feel like I've begun a brand new career here now after predicting the Trump win, after saying that it could be a long-term game changer and that if Roe versus Wade is repealed as a result of its pendency, it will be a success, and it still will be, just based on that. after last night, folks, this was as This is as... Here's how Lowry describes it. Don't listen to me. Listen to a Decepticon, okay? Trump delivered his core message in a way that was domesticated to the peasantry. A key question is whether if he gets out of his own way a little bit and lets the haze of constant controversy lift, his policies will actually have some of the cross-partisan appeal you might expect. In other words, it's populism. It was truly bizarre to see Republicans standing and cheering the passages on protectionism and infrastructure spending, but this is the change Trump has wrought in the party. We still don't know where Trump will end up policy-wise on these matters. He seemed to tiptoe up to endorsing a border adjustment tax, but he didn't go all the way. And he mentioned the $1 trillion number on infrastructure without explicitly saying it would all be more spending. He was also vague on the Obamacare replacement.